This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Serial!
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Melbourne, if you're not listening in Melbourne. Good morning to you too, or whatever time it is, wherever you are. Good afternoon, good evening. This is Wednesday Get Serial on Sin 90.7 with Jesse, Georgina and Ben. We don't have Jesse this morning because she's a bit under the weather. It is a bit early, so we hope she's in bed and not listening. And feeling a bit better, recuperating a bit on this kind of chilly Wednesday morning. It's not as chilly as it has been, but...
No, I noted it was warm. I caught the train with Pat, our co-EP, who's joining us today, thank God.
Very happy to be joining you. Note that as well. It was a good pick-up on the weather front.
Yeah, because last week it was really cold, and I was wearing a hoodie as well. So I've just got the Kathmandu jacket, the stock standard down jacket. So I've got that, and I know it was quite warm. So yeah, it's a warmer morning, so I hope you guys are up. And we do have a fair bit to talk about in this first segment. You got a little bit of news on World Hot Fudge Sundae Day. And, of course, today is a Wednesday. But the Sundae we're talking about is the ones that you can eat, of course, at Macca's if you're Hungry Jack's, the delicious type. I got a little bit of solving the riddle. Now, it might be a little bit early, but it's good to get your brain ticking nice and early trying to solve some of these riddles. And there's also some Golden Retriever talk that you've got lined up, Georgina.
Some massive Golden Retriever talk. The biggest Golden Retriever talk you'll ever hear. Some good things happening with Golden Retrievers, but we'll get into that a bit later. I don't want to spoil it and spoil your morning, but we'll get to it in a little bit. Kick off your morning in the right way. It's World Hot Fudge Sundae Day. So that's not Sunday, the day of the week Sunday. It's Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-E, the ice cream Sunday. So, bit of history for you. First appeared in the 1900s. These are the different types of hot fudge sundaes that were around. The Robin Hood sundae, the Cocoa Caramel sundae, the Black Hawk sundae, the Tally Ho sundae, and the Knickerbocker sundae. So there are a few originals for you.
What flavours are some of those, though? Like, will we recognise the flavours?
The Cocoa Caramel was just your average kind of caramel.
Chocolate
caramel.
I'm aware. I'm familiar.
Hang on a second. Knickerbocker. That was the one that... It was towards the end of the list, but it was one of the most interesting names of them.
This one's
got a lot of stuff in it. It's still around now, though. It's still around now. It's got a lot of... It's meant to be a childhood glory. A childhood dreams dessert. Very simple to prepare, but impressive looking when assembled. These will be loved by children and adults alike. So you've got raspberries, icing sugar, you've got mango, blueberries, ice cream, and pistachios, which I'm guessing go on the top, yeah. So it's pretty vibrant looking, that one. But we've kind of evolved from that, from the beginning days when it was the American-styled fudge, first made in Baltimore, Maryland in 1889. Then that and the ice cream side of it was joined in 1906 at C.C. Brown's, which is an ice cream parlour, or was an ice cream parlour, I'm not sure if it still is, on Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles. And the Hot Fudge Sundae was born, and it's actually recognised as an official holiday. Like one of those official days, Hot Fudge Sundae Day.
But it's not a day off.
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I think that would be amazing if we had a day off.
For
ice cream.
No, it's interesting to hear this like timeline of like the major evolutions.
would they offer like discounts on Sundays?
Oh, on Sundays, I don't know. I feel like that would be a very good marketing ploy.
Mm.
Well, the Sundae Day is on a Wednesday.
As that's what I mean, like the Sundae.
But if we wait a couple of years,
it's just on a date.
It's the 25th.
Yeah,
of July.
So it must be a huge celebration every time it's on a Sunday.
Mm. I mean, that makes sense.
Make it rare,
I would hope
does.
So. Let's say that it's a big celebration.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is or not.
Nah,
but,
We'll say it is.
No way it's not.
It's on a Sunday. There'd be like 50% off, 75% off, one, like 10 customers to come in first every hour. You get a free sundae.
Ooh.
Something like that.
Just Mr. Businessman over there.
That's what they should do.
Just advertise things that aren't
that's what they
possibly
should do.
Happening.
That's an idea, though.
You could open a hot fudge sundae
I'll do that.
Stall yeah. here in Melbourne, and every time it's on a Sunday. Hmm. Or are you just talking about Sundays in general?
Or just if it's on a Sunday, we'll throw it out.
Yeah.
That's it. Done.
Okay.
Promote your hot fudge sundaes. I'll
but,
open a store.
I mean, in the meantime, until this shop of yours
mm-hmm.
takes place and starts gets going, you could just drop down to Macca's and get a hot fudge sundae. Really.
Well, speaking of that, what is your favourite type of sundae? Do you always go the chock fudge? Or
yeah. Mm. I mean, but at McDonald's, you get the double chock fudge and then they put it in the bottom and they put it in the top.
Hungry Jack's do that
my
normally.
My mum's a big fan. Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd go
Changing
Hungry Jack's.
Changing my hot fudge sundae destination, I think.
You, Pat?
I'm not sure on my hot fudge sundae. I'm a make-it-at-home kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
You get the ingredients, you put together your knickerbocker, you get your raspberries and your pistachios, put that all together.
That's kind of like doing, have you ever done your own cold rock ice cream at home?
I have not.
A bit tricky. So it's like you stood there smashing Maltesers to try and fold them into your ice cream. It's not as professional as it is in the actual shop. The closest
I'd probably get to that is just putting Milo with my vanilla ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That was the way.
It's still tasty.
It's so good.
Still gets the job done.
I haven't had that in a while. I might do that soon. It's a good idea.
We'll give you an update on that if he does.
Yeah.
Talk about that next week. If you are a fan of bananas and eating bananas, this is the conversation you need to hear and be a part of.
All right, we're going to do two segments on bananas. So first up, we're going to do the process. So how do you peel a banana? So I was alerted by a mate of mine that I've been peeling bananas the wrong way, apparently, because monkeys, what they do is I'd say it's the majority of humans. We peel it from, of course, the stem at the top, and you peel it backwards, and then you open it all up.
I feel like it's an interesting example that your friend uses, because we don't get what is right to do just off monkeys. If that was true, we'd be like, you're bathing wrong. You should get a friend to come over and start, like, picking bits off you instead of having a shower. Like, I don't think monkeys, like, epitomize what human behavior should be. But go on.
Well, anyway, so monkeys, of course, they peel it from the bottom, for those that don't know. And we're a little bit, we've got a banana in front of us here. We're looking at it and we're just thinking, well, you're probably going to have nails for starters to get into it.
Because
it does look a bit hard.
Hands.
But I guess there is an argument against the traditional monkey way, because didn't us humans, we evolved from monkeys?
Yeah, so you'd think that our banana peeling habits would have evolved too.
Yeah, so if we evolved from monkeys and we're the better version of monkeys, clearly the more advanced version of monkeys, we'd know how to peel a banana, wouldn't we?
I don't know. Monkeys do have a lot of experience in bananas, though.
That's true.
Like, we might... Like, it doesn't mean humans are better than monkeys in every respect.
this could be their one area of expertise. So anyway, Pat, I believe you got some bananas as well.
I do have some.
Would you like to peel some from the bottom? Because my stem's already done.
You've done your stem.
I've done my stem. You got ripe bananas.
Do you want me to pull them? You want me to peel? Mine are quite ripe, so I think that
I'm going to try mine.
Another interesting variable to the whole.
Oh, you can.
So Ben...
I've peeled it from the bottom.
Ben has peeled it from the bottom.
So you don't have to actually go into the bit
at
the bottom.
No, you can.
It's just about the skin.
You can do it. It is possible. But it feels weird. You got some gooey stuff at the bottom from squeezing it, which you don't get from the top, because if you do it from the top, you're just peeling the stem. Look at that. But then that happens sometimes.
Yeah, then
it goes into half.
That really little...
Oh, well, anyway... With bananas, how do you guys prefer your bananas? Do you prefer it a little bit brown, really brown, ripe? What's the go?
I
a little bit green.
Ripe.
And
then
banana.
When it gets to really, really brown, I make them into a banana bread.
Banana bread.
I can't eat them like that.
But another thing you can do when they get really, really brown is you can make them into banana ice cream.
Yes, which we'll get into
we'll
later.
We'll get into that later
because that is a life hack. That is a life hack, banana ice cream. I prefer mine brown, though. I find it's more tasty.
I get what you mean because...
It's a lot tastier.
I get what you mean with the taste. I just don't like it when it's really, really mushy. Like the
I hate
texture.
That. Nah, see, look at this. This is like,
well with me.
This is perfect. Have a look at this banana.
It looks good, though.
Like, this is just like a little bit brown. It's not like dark, dark brown. But you can tell it's not ripe,
yeah.
And it's beautiful. Look at it. Obviously, you guys can't see at home, but it's a really good banana. Just imagine a slightly brown. Maybe we'll post a photo. But yeah, it's slightly brown. You can tell I'm touching it right now. The banana is hard, which is what you want. You want it to be hard. Yeah. You don't want it to be soft.
Yeah.
And I can already taste it. I'm going to eat it after this. I'm hungry. That's good.
Well, stay tuned, because after this, we'll give you a little bit of a talk on the life hack of making banana ice cream. If you were listening before the break, you will know we haven't got Jesse, but we have got executive producer Pat in the studio this morning with us.
Yeah, it's good to be. It's good
Say
to be.
Good morning to the people, Pat.
Good morning, people.
Good morning, people.
And if you were listening before the break, you would have heard a little chat about bananas, how to peel a banana, if we have truly evolved from monkeys in our banana peeling habits. But Ben, you've got something else about bananas to share.
Yes, I do. Bananas are just the gift that keeps on giving. So I'm surprised that not many of you realise this, but what you can do with bananas, you can make banana ice cream just by itself. Now, how you do that is you cut up your bananas, you freeze it overnight, and then because it's frozen, you can just chuck it into a blender or a food processor or whatever you've got, and bang, you've got banana ice cream. Now, the theory I use, it's probably a little bit obvious, but it's probably not correct either, but because bananas, they got that texture, it is like a creamy texture, isn't it, mm-hmm. when you eat it?
Yeah.
And because there's ice...
It's true.
When you freeze it, hence ice cream. But I don't know. That could be too logical and too easy for the reasoning. But regardless of it, it does taste really good. And it is for, obviously, like, because it is, we've got all these health crazes, I guess, right now, and it is sugar-free, whatever. It's a little bit of a craze. But, yeah, you can make banana ice cream just by freezing a banana, nothing else.
What stage does the banana have to be in for you to be the best frozen?
What we usually do is those ones that are really brown, mm-hmm. we do that, and yeah. those are the best ones, the ones with flavour, because Pat and I were discussing during the break how we preferred our bananas, and he was adamant he preferred his with texture,
yeah,
I guess.
I'm a texture man.
Yeah, more firm than flavour, which was the term.
Firmness over flavour, yes.
Yes, firm over flavour.
That's the way I go in terms of bananas.
But yeah, no, you do want flavour. With this banana ice cream. So I do go for a slightly dark brown one, and it's a good one. So if you do have bananas lying around at home and all of a sudden they're brown, just cut them up, chuck them in a freezer, mm-hmm. and then the next day or two or whatever, you can have banana ice cream. Treat yourself.
And it is a healthier version of what I do, which is I make banana bread when the bananas are getting a bit brown.
Mm.
But that's really not as healthy as just freezing it and then blending it into some ice cream. That's got a lot of other sugar and it's not that great for you. It's really not.
It's easier to just freeze bananas.
Yeah, it is. Then go through the whole process of cooking it.
But also, so you mentioned, like, it's creamy.
Mm.
And it's ice.
Yeah.
What about other other fruits? Like, peaches are a bit creamy.
I tried it with another fruit. What fruit was it? We tried it with... Oh, we've done mangoes. We've done mango before, but we didn't blend it. We did mangoes. You just, like... Just froze it completely and then let it melt a little bit, mm-hmm. and you can start eating straight from that.
Yum.
Just natural. But you got to be careful which mango you pick. Sometimes you can get like a sour one that's not flavoured and it's just like, ugh, it's just disgusting. So do get one that's got flavour. Again, so flavour is key for frozen fruit
I'm a texture man though.
Type dishes. You got to go flavour.
Does that mean, Pat, that you're not going to be freezing the banana anytime soon, or...?
Oh, I do like the texture of ice cream, though, so we don't know.
Just deliberately leave a couple of bananas lying around so you can get it dark, and then bang.
Cut it up
into a freezer.
I'll definitely have a crack at that and see.
You will.
See what I think of it.
Do that at home as well. Do that at home. I highly recommend it.
If you're listening out there, reinvest your bananas. On the note of people being unwell... I need to talk to you about sneezing, and are we sneezing wrong? But for me to say, are we sneezing wrong, you need to tell me how you sneeze.
I just sneeze.
Do you cover your nose, mouth area?
Well, it depends. Like, if I'm in a large public space, sometimes I'll just block my nose because it's just, like, embarrassment.
Yeah, do that, like...
Or I'll just cover it with, like, my hand. I'll just go, like sneeze on the side, have my hand over, like, covering it.
Yeah.
Which is like everyone
Pretty
does
typical.
That, so...
Yeah. What about you, Pat? I need to know before we get into this.
I do the dab, like...
Oh, you do the dab.
Like into the...
Okay, you do the elbow.
Into the
All
elbow.
All right. Thank you for that.
Ooh.
Because experts are actually discouraging using your hands to cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. So there's this whole thing. It's in winter. It's recommended by the New South Wales Health to make sure you use tissues, dispose of them, wash your hands, all your normal classic sneezing, coughing techniques, just to keep yourself kind of sanitized when you're around other people. They also say that the length of Happy Birthday is a good length to wash your hands. Just out there for you, so you know. But you're supposed to wash your hands after you use a tissue, if you use a tissue to cover your nose when you sneeze or to blow your nose.
I guess that does make sense. So the length of Happy Birthday
is
how long?
When you wash your hands...
So if I hear someone's... Happy birthday to...
The whole thing.
So if I hear someone singing Happy Birthday, I know they're a healthy person.
Yeah, it's about 30 seconds, I reckon. 20 to 30 seconds Happy Birthday would... The duration of... Is that how long it is? Maybe it's a bit longer.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll find it out for you. We'll count it.
We will not do a soft experiment on air.
But
we'll do it when it's someone's birthday.
That they're saying that it is more sanitary to cough into your elbow or sneeze into your elbow, your arm. It's become kind of the standard suggestion, like a dab, like Ben's doing in the studio, like Pat just did before.
I do a dab.
You do the dab. It's known as the Dracula cough. So it's kind of like you're covering yourself with a cape. Or just a dab, I suppose. It depends how old you are.
I guess that's obvious when you do think about it.
It supposedly reduces the germ particles that are flying around you, so it doesn't, as to not spread as many germs.
Because the elbow is like a bigger surface, not more.
But also you use your hands. Mm. Like you use your hands for everything. And if you're going to sneeze there, of course you're going to have a lot more germs there.
But I guess that's obvious. You can wash your hands, but if you sneeze into your elbow, fair enough, there's less germs flying around, but are you going to go, like, say you've got a jacket on, you're going to go just, like, wash your jacket in the sink for the length of Happy Birthday? Is that going to work? Is that going to get rid of the germs?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. If you're wearing a jumper, that's the problem. If you're wearing something covering that area, that's the issue. Otherwise, I guess you could just extend your washing all the way out.
The sink?
Get, what's it called? Get, like, baby wipes or something, maybe.
Because baby wipe your jacket. I understand the concept. You're covering yourself more.
Yeah.
You're getting less people sick, I suppose, with the spreading.
Less people sick.
And also, who's going
to,
like...
I mean, you've got the power to get people sick if you're sneezing around them, but...
Who's going to touch your elbow?
Exactly.
As well. Like, who's going to, like... I don't know, like...
Maybe
it's you don't... Like, you shake hands. You don't, like, shake elbows. Mm. You don't, like, often link elbows together unless, like, you're... I don't know, you're doing some ring around the rosy crap, I don't know, and then you just, all of a sudden, their elbows touch, and then now they've got germs.
But it's just on their elbow.
But on their
elbow. But then they touch
their
elbow.
You can't touch their elbow.
You could touch your elbow, and
for
then
some
you could
reason.
Touch
and
your
then
face
then
with
germs.
Your hand.
But that's already touched, like, four different, surely it's dilute enough by then.
Who knows? Who knows how
we
strong
don't
germs
know.
Are?
We
still
don't really
germs,
know.
And I mean,
still
suppose,
germs.
It depends where you are. Like, I work in a bakery, and there's food everywhere. It's like we make sandwiches and stuff. So if I need to sneeze, and there's food all around me, sometimes I'm a bit lost as what to do. So I do the dab Dracula coat sneeze, just because I need to protect the food from the germs. It's not very sanitary. But then... If I've got that elbow going around everywhere, I could be spreading the germs to others, to the sandwiches.
Just, I think there's one solution to this, and it's just don't sneeze.
Don't sneeze.
That's it.
Hold it in.
Just don't sneeze.
Don't hold it in. That's not good for you. That's not good for your sinuses,
no, it's not.
Surely.
No, it's not. Greg the Wiggle taught us that. Got to let it out.
So if you need to sneeze this winter, make sure that you're sanitary about it. Wash your hands. Sing Happy Birthday while you're washing your hands. It might make you look a bit funny if you're singing it out loud, but at least we know that your hands are clean.
Just hum it, maybe.
Words of advice from Get Serial Sin 90.7.
Now, we do have... Pat's phone's just going off. Ooh. There's an alarm. I think... Is that the time that you're normally going to
wake
up?
Is this the time you wake up usually, Pat?
It could be. I apologise very much for that.
He's usually a 7 o'clock person. But anyway, it has ticked over 7 o'clock thanks to that alarm. And we do have quite the hour of discussion. We've got golden retrievers. Georgina's going to tell us a little bit of that. And some bandy snake, which I'm intrigued
Get
about.
Ready for it.
And of course, we've got my segment, Is This Really News? My sports quiz will come out later. And I've got a new segment here, Solving the Riddle. Now, we were going to do that in the first hour, but we are going to do it in the second hour. We've woken up a little bit. Yeah. Our brains are starting to tick, so we may be able to solve these riddles. I hope you guys are able to at home as well. So do stay tuned. there is a hour jam-packed hour coming up.
It's very packed. Stay tuned. If you're in the car, on your way to school, on your way to work, keep listening, because next up we've got a chat about golden retrievers, and I'm very excited for it. As a golden retriever owner, we are talking right now. I'm talking right now. I'm telling the guys about golden retrievers. So I don't know if you like golden retrievers or not. I don't know if you have much experience being around golden retrievers, boys. But for the entirety of last week, there was a golden retriever meetup in Scotland to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the breed, which the breed came from crossing a wavy-haired retriever with a golden spaniel. There's a bit of information for you. It was created by Atomic near Glen Affric in the 1800s by landowner Dudley Marjorie Banks, also known as Lord Tweedmouth. So to That's celebrate, so cool. It's a Scottish name, Lord Tweedmouth, to celebrate more than 360 golden retrievers and owners gathered together in Scotland, and I have seen videos online, and oh my goodness, it is just a field of golden retrievers. And the thing is, they're not even running around like crazy. They're all just sat there, just like wagging their tails and like panting a bit, like tongues out wagging,
panting, a
having
bit.
A great time.
Classic golden retriever behavior.
So it just goes to show, I think, of what good boys they are. So well behaved.
Very well behaved.
That's like my dream dog to have. Like I really want a dog. And, like, I've searched, like, Google and, like, the dogs and stuff. And I've seen other people with dogs. And I'm like, I really like that dog. And then I search it up and I'm like, oh, it's a golden retriever. And they say golden retrievers are, like, the most, I don't know, not favourite, but one of the more popular,
very popular
dog breeds. And I'm just like, here we go. Looks good. And, yeah, so that's the dream, to get a golden retriever. But, yeah, I'm not surprised by that behaviour. Whenever I've come across a golden retriever, they're always very nice.
They're good
always
boys.
Always people-friendly, That is surprising, though. The temptation of other dogs there, and they're just panting,
they're just hanging out,
tongues out, waving really excitedly, but they're constraining themselves. They're restraining themselves from, excessive behaviour.
It's crazy. I have a golden retriever, and he's lovely. He's about 11 now, nearly. So he's a bit old, and he's got bad hips, and he can't walk that far, but he's just so well-behaved. And just such a nice dog. Like, they're so friendly and loyal. And, I mean, I know majority of dogs are. Dogs are known for kind of being loyal and man's best friend and all that. But they're so lovely. The one downfall that I will recommend for you if you were to get a golden retriever is there is hair everywhere. Like, everywhere. We sweep our floor. We have a Cocker Spaniel as well, and we sweep our floor, like, 3 times a day. It's ridiculous. Like, white hair. And at the moment, because it's winter and he's molting, you could literally just go up to him and pull out chunks of hair. And he doesn't feel it. You're just pulling out his coat. It's ridiculous.
You can't have carpet, does it?
No. Mm. We have wooden floor downstairs. Damn. But then you can see it all. But it's good because you can get the sweeper thing out and you can just sweep and it's done. But there's a lot of hair. And it gets all over you.
I think it's so nice, like, thinking of... It's been 150 years since that first little golden retriever was born. You didn't know that was going to be a very nice breed of dog.
But it is.
It was just a bit of a... Yeah, that's nice.
It was just the crossing of a wavy-haired retriever with a golden spaniel, and now we have the golden retriever. Beautiful dog.
Because it's so nice. I never thought of thinking of the anniversary of when dog breeds started. But that's so...
But it's something to celebrate,
something
I guess.
It is something to celebrate.
All the golden retrievers in the world are going to celebrate. They might as well celebrate... the breed being born.
Yeah. Because you just think that all the breeds were kind of just there.
They were already a thing. But I suppose they've got to come from somewhere.
They do have to come from
somewhere. Would they have known, though, the golden retrievers, what they were celebrating?
No.
I don't know.
I'm skeptical.
Maybe not. I mean, that's like a whole other question of do dogs understand you, I suppose.
Yeah.
But
they would
have
known it was important.
Yeah. There's all these other dogs. It might have just been a really good kind of playtime. There might have been... I'm assuming there were a lot of treats involved and...
Oh, yeah.
Dog food.
Dog food.
Edible things that dogs can eat.
They surely would have been thinking, why are there so many of my kind? Something would have had to click in them. Something would have had to click.
They would have had to think something.
Something would have clicked, like, hang on a second. Something's not right here. Something's not normal. Why are there so many of my kind here? Is this... I don't know.
And then it would have just been fun.
I want to... Let's delve into the mind of a golden retriever. Of a dog.
We do have a riddle coming up later.
Yeah, we do.
It's not dog-related, though.
There's a lot. There's a lot of riddles.
But it's just the same as thinking about what dogs do. It kind of works your mind.
Yeah.
And we'll have that riddle section of the show a little bit later on, so stay tuned for that. It's a bit closer to the end of the hour, but if you are in the car or you're listening and you're going to be in the car for a little while, stay tuned because we will get to that a little bit later on.
Earlier in the show, we discussed about sneezing and whether or not there is a correct way to sneeze. And there's a finding that Georgina talked about.
Mm.
You're supposed to sneeze in your elbow, apparently. Now, I want to bring that up. Is that really news? Because, well, we're not sure what exactly defines news, but it does make sense. But then again, it was the first time I heard it. So which of those outweighs the other in terms of making this story really news? Because Pat, you heard about it, was it year 4 or year 3 in primary school?
I've known about it a long time. My primary school was very big on hygiene, so I'm probably ahead in that respect. Like, it was news. It was news for me, but when I was a bit younger.
Yeah.
But now it's just something
It's just something you practice.
It's just like flushing the toilet to me. Yeah. That's
which I hope you do. It makes it sound like you do that, so I'm glad, Pat.
Do it when you're in public.
Yeah.
It's definitely not hard-hitting news,
mm.
I don't think. But, I mean, there's surveys out there kind of and studies saying, so that was from, I mentioned earlier, if you weren't listening, it was from New South Wales Health.
That's right, yes.
Were recommending that, let me just find it, to make sure, that wasn't about the sneezing though, that was just to make sure you use tissues, dispose of them immediately and wash your hands after you do that. So New South Wales Health, I'm not sure what their views are on what has been dubbed kind of the Dracula cough and sneeze, where you cover yourself with your elbow as if you're covering yourself with a cloak.
Is it a Dracula sleeve though?
No,
is it?
There's also the 2016 variation, which is the dab sneeze.
The dab.
Is that where the dab originated from?
What? I don't know if that's where the dab originated from, to be honest.
Potentially.
I'm not really sure where the dab originated from. Is that news, maybe? Well, I think we're just...
I don't think they're really either news, to
be
honest.
The dab has its origins in the Atlanta hip-hop scene in the 2010s.
Famously one of the most hygienic hip-hop scenes there is.
They know how to sneeze hygienically.
Yeah, well, I guess my view on this is, like, this was obviously the first time I've heard of it. The sneezing into an elbow. Like, I've seen people do it, but, like, in terms of, like, finding out it's hygienic. But then when you come to think about it, it's like, hang on a second, that's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, if you sneeze in your hands, obviously you spread germs hands. More because you use hands, as the example I used before. You shake people's hands. You don't shake people's elbows very often. You do it, like, you'll link up every now and then. But, yeah, I'm not sure if it's news. I'm not sure.
I don't think it is news. I think if there were more surveys and things... It might be a bit more news. I mean, there could be so many surveys out there that I'm just not aware of, but I think that it's not very hard-hitting. It might be a bit of soft news, that kind of, like, opinions page news, but not sure if it's completely news.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a grey area in what is news and what isn't, but I think that this falls in the not news
category. And this is why we do this segment. We give you the hard-hitting topics and tell you whether or not it is news. All right, so we're going to get into part two of our Is This Really News segment. Now, I've come across this article, and it's going to be a report released today about the Parenting Research Centre. Now, it's with regards to teenagers, toddlers, infants spending too much time on their screens. Now, the survey has shown that 70% of teenagers, they spend too long on tablets. Now, to give you some reference, they haven't exactly given us too long, but we can only assume that they're going by the NPAG guidelines, which is a classic unit 1, 2/3, 4 PE for those who have done it. But for those who haven't, NPAG, that's the National Physical Activity Guidelines. This is just classic PE. Anyway, they've given us guidelines for sedentary behaviour. Now, for toddlers, so firstly, for infants, they are to spend no screen time. That's the recommendation. For toddlers, it is 1 hour. So that's toddlers aged 1 to 2. And for preschoolers aged 3 to 5, it is 1 hour. And for us, for teenagers, that goes to 2 hours. But that is not including educational purposes. So we can only assume they're going longer than that. Firstly, for the toddlers and the preschoolers, are we surprised by these statistics? So it's in the realms of 70%. They're spending too long on screens. Is this really news?
I don't think I'm surprised by it at all. I feel like every time you look over at a small child that's misbehaving, not every time, but on many occasions, you see their parent, they're frustrated with their child, and they go here, and they give them a small screen, a bigger screen, some sort of screen, tablet, smartphone, whatever it is, to occupy them, and they watch their Peppa Pig or whatever whatever they're addicted to at that moment, and they watch it. And fair enough, yeah, it keeps them occupied. I can't say for myself, I'm 21 now, I can't say for myself that I experienced that when I was younger, because I think that was a little bit before the time where smartphones, as all of us, were kind of introduced as a mechanism to distract children. It's just, I see it everywhere, yeah, all the time.
It's a newer thing, especially, yeah. It's a big cafe situation. Oh. Always in the cafes.
That's is, and it makes me wonder, I think children should be able to sit at a dining table or breakfast table, lunch, any sort of table while you're eating, and be able to just occupy themselves and to behave at a table rather than having to pull out the screen to distract them a little bit.
Mm. Now, just some other info we've got here. Other data, they said it shows 20% of boys aged 11 to 17 spend 5 to 8 hours a day on screens on weekends, and 25% spend 3 to 4 hours.
Well, is that all the Fortnite that they're playing?
Mm. Is this really news in terms of that?
Okay. So that means people are only in the 3 to 4 or up to 5 to 8 hour categories. So there's no one doing 0 to
20%. 20% of boys aged 11 to 17,
oh, okay.
They spend 5 to 8 hours a day.
So that means there's a percent over and there's a percent under them.
So that's we'll do 80% don't spend that long, but this is some of the data we've been given.
Okay.
Is this really news?
Is this really news?
That is 20%. Should it be higher? Should it be lower? What are your thoughts?
No, I feel like that's pretty accurate. Like, it is high. Like, up to 8 hours is a long time. It is a long time. I think it is accurate.
It's a long time.
Though.
When you've got 24 hours in the day, how long do you sleep for and you're spending 8 hours?
Well, is it
the
eight
third.
Dreams? Is the it 8 hours of sleep? 8 hours of work, 8 hours of play. That's the
8 hours of play. No outdoor.
Yeah, that's
no outdoor visiting. It's all
nah.
It's all on the screen.
What do you do for your 8 hours of work then? I don't know.
What's
okay.
The weekend? So maybe there's no work that weekend.
Yeah. Now you said that you might have You said, Pat, that you might have an is this really news
I
topic?
Do. I've got an is this really news topic for you. Well, for both of you.
Oh, thank you.
Are we not just for Ben? Are you familiar with America's Got Talent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was a girl on America's Got Talent a while ago, Courtney Hadwin. Have you seen her?
No.
Okay. She did a song called Hard to Handle, and, like, it blew up hugely, hugely on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But it did come, like, a bit later it came under some criticism because she'd already made, like, got pretty big off The Voice UK.
Oh. Oh, so, I'm not there for that. I hate things like that.
What I want to say, and then, like, what happens was she acted really shy at the start, or she was really shy.
Yeah.
And then she blew everyone away with Hard to Handle, which is, she sang like Janis Joplin, if everyone's
okay.
familiar with Janis Joplin. Like a really
big voice.
High energy,
yeah.
big voice,
yeah.
which is a huge contrast.
Hmm.
So she essentially fooled people into thinking...
It's possible she was also scared.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's more, is it really news or did America's Got Talent...
Make it into news.
Like, yeah, make it into news.
Well,
it's entertainment news.
Did she participate? So you said she participated in The Voice UK.
Yeah, and The Voice Kids. So she
and
was
the Voice
big
Kids.
Already.
Oh, so she's had practice.
She's familiar with a big.
She
big
knows
scene
what's
television.
Going on.
Yeah.
That's
cheating.
Definitely interesting. That is a bit of, I think, a little bit of foul play. I mean, you've got experience. Don't come out there thinking. Fair enough. If you're a bit nervous, you're going back on TV, but. You know how to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
She's done it before. And I've got a feeling that other people... I'm pretty sure I've heard of other cases. I don't have, obviously, the evidence to back this up. So this is obviously all hearsay. But I'm pretty sure there have been other competitors on these types
yeah.
of talent shows who have come on with previous experience.
Yeah, well,
and they've
on
obviously
the
then
Voice,
they find out. And then, obviously, the consequences come from that.
On The Voice, the last season, I'm not sure if she was the winner. She was in the final, Bella. She's a really young girl. She won The Voice Kids a few years ago. So, I mean, I understand that you're a bit younger, so you go on The Voice Kids, and then you go back on The Voice. She obviously needed a bit more exposure. I don't know, because you'd think that if you won The Voice Kids, you'd kind of... Not that she didn't do anything with it, but it would give you that bit of a platform. She obviously needed a bit more of a platform again, but she revisited the show, just the adult form.
Yeah, I think it's fair to visit more than one show. I think it's interesting. Like, she definitely is a phenomenal singer, so check it out if you do get the chance. It's blown up on YouTube and things like all kind of mediums like that. Courtney Hadwin, yeah.
Beautiful. There you go.
And that wraps up.
That wraps up. Is this really news?
A two-part segment today.
Now we're going to be talking about a new discovery that I read an article on last week of a new snake species. Oh, well, it's not a new snake species. It's a branch of it. It's the Bandy Bandy snake. Now they've discovered a new form. A team led by University of Queensland's Associate Professor Brian Fry uncovered a new species of Bandy Bandy snake at, is it Weeper? I don't know how you pronounce their names. It's on the west coast of the Cape York Peninsula. I apologise if I've pronounced that wrong and you're from the Cape York Peninsula. Very sorry. There are five species of the Bandy Bandy that have already been discovered, and they are also known as the Hoop Snake. Anyone out there recognises that name? I had no idea, so it's news to me. But, so basically they can carry mild venom, they can grow about a metre in length, and they feed almost exclusively on blind snakes. Which is a little bit mean. You're a snake, you're eating the other snakes. I don't know how I'd feel about that as a snake. But it has black and white rings. So if you're out there and you see a Bandy Bandy snake, my advice to you would just seek first aid and immediate help.
This is just if you see it.
Immediately
toxic. These snakes.
Not if you just see it. I mean, if you see a snake, what, you're supposed to be still? Oh, no. Are you supposed to make, like, bang your feet? Don't they run away with that? I'd be still. That would be my immediate response.
Yeah, just be still.
I think it depends how close they are.
If they're close, on your foot...
Don't stamp at that point.
No.
It's a little bit too late. If it bites you, seek immediate assistance. Go to the emergency room. Your doctor, not even your doctor, you could be carrying venom in you. Get to the hospital.
Straight to the hospital.
This is where you apply the doctor's ABCD, your RISA, your all that. That's where you apply that. That's when you're gone. But where can we find these snakes?
Well, it's a burrowing snake. So it's usually found sheltering beneath rocks and logs. But unfortunately, this team that found it were surprised to find the snake in a concrete block by the sea after they were on a night of snake sea spotting. So they found it in an area that it's not supposed to be in. So living,
Weird doesn't know that. Living, it's just a snake.
Living on the island of Australia, I don't think any of us are safe ever.
Yeah.
From the snakes.
You do often hear that, like, Australia.
Because we're known for it.
Yeah. We're fine.
We're fine. We know how to handle it.
I was in England. Mm. I lived there. And they told me, like, to watch out for... They've got two snakes in there in England. They've got these death adders, which are, like, just a little bit poisonous.
Yeah. Just like, a little bit.
I don't think they should be named death adders. Like, I don't think they're as much death as...
We got redback spiders.
We do have red... Like, and it's just, like... way smaller and more venomous.
Yeah, and we don't even, like... Crap, now I'm scared about it.
Yeah, they also have, like, green grass snakes that just...
I've never seen a snake in England.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I suppose it depends the area that it's... If it's a burrowing snake or if it's by the sea. Who knows? But by the sounds of it, you can... Snakes obviously don't feel restrained by the area that they're known to be found in. So the snakes are slithering anywhere they want to.
Which is to be expected. Yeah. There's the boundaries of... is quite arbitrary for a snake. They'll just go wherever they can
Be careful when you're out there, and especially on paths that have the signs to stay on the path, because there's snakes in the area. Stay on the path.
Snakes can also go on paths.
They can. They can, but...
They've been known to ignore those signs.
Yes. That's true. However, I think it's a little bit more visible if you're walking down a stony path rather than being in the burrowing area.
Definitely.
The grassy land that you're working on, you can see them a little bit better on the path. So just keep an eye out if you're in the wilderness, and just keep an eye out for danger. If you do get bitten by a snake, seek assistance, please. We are highly
recommend.
Highly recommend that here at SYN. Yeah.
And applied seek help. And applied doctor's ABCD, of course.
Yes.
For those that don't know, I'm not gonna go through it right now.
Stop
but
doing things from health.
Look it up.
No, but I learned this for school and cadets. This is cadets.
Exercising
this
is
knowledge. Different. This is
we'll
different.
We'll delve into yeah. Ben's cadet.
Yeah, we can talk about cadets.
Later in show,
but yeah,
maybe.
That was a good
maybe.
Experience, by the way. If your school offers cadets, if your school is lucky enough to offer cadets, do it. I recommend it.
And if you do it, you will know how to save yourself from a snake bite.
Exactly.
So really, living in Australia, that's all you really want, I think. What are we about to do,
Ben? Well, we did have Pat also.
We did have Pat, but he just left to go on a run.
A run at this time in the morning. What's the time right now? 7:49.
I don't know. You have energetic to be a special type of person to want to run in the morning, I think, so.
You need to be a co-EP of Get Serial.
So emos need to
get for a run as well. But anyway, we've got some riddles here. I'm going to see if Georgina can solve them. And of course,
riddles.
You at home as well. But all right, this is, I guess it's a tough one, but an easy one as well. Oh. Why is an island like the letter T?
Is that it?
Yeah.
I need a clue.
Why is an island
like a letter T?
Like the letter T.
Because it stands alone? I don't know.
You're on the right path.
Really?
But just think about the, I guess, the environment that an island lies in.
Mm.
What's it surrounded by?
It's surrounded by water, but T is surrounded by S and U.
You're on it with water. The answer
water,
is the answer
yeah.
is they're both in the middle of water.
T. How's T in the middle of water?
Spell water.
Ah! Yeah, I love that.
W-A-T.
In the middle of water.
E-R. Okay.
God, that made me sound so stupid. All right.
All right. A murderer is condemned to death. He has to choose between three rooms. The first is full of raging fires. The second, assassins with loaded guns. And the third, lions who haven't eaten in years. Which room is the safest? One, two, or three?
So the first one was raging fire, assassins with guns, and lions who haven't eaten.
In years.
In years, okay. Well, I suppose the raging fire, if it's not contained, is going to kill you. The assassins with guns, they can choose whether or not they want to kill you. And the lions that haven't eaten in years will probably eat you. But it depends maybe if you're on like a little platform and they can't reach you.
Mm.
So you're hidden. But it's a room, so I'm guessing it's just really four walls with some lions in there that are very hungry. I'm going to say the assassin one.
Whoa. Close, but no cigar. It was the lions one. You know why?
Why?
Because the poor lions, they've died of starvation.
Oh, uh-huh. That's true.
Is that really news?
Well, I mean, it would be because, I mean, water can only last you for so long.
Mm.
You've got to eat.
Let's move on to a next one. Mm-hmm. Now, when you want to use me, you throw me away. When you're done using me, you bring me in. What am I?
I feel like I've heard this one before, but I can't remember. When you use me, you throw me away. But when you want me, you bring me in.
Essentially, yes.
I wish I had someone else here to help me. But it's just us.
Jessie, where are you?
Jessie, wake up. Jessie's sick, by the way. She's not just sleeping.
Yeah.
That didn't sound very good. You throw me away. I can only think of something like a tissue.
Oh. No, but when you want to use a tissue, you don't throw it away. Like you use it, you bring it to you. It's an anchor.
Oh, it's early for this.
The answer is
yeah, go on.
An anchor.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's good. So
yeah,
when you use it, you throw it out. Yeah. But then when you don't, you bring it back in.
Mm-hmm.
All the boat people out there, I'm
smart.
I hope you're impressed with that one.
We've got a water theme. We've got a lot of water theme. Anyway, we'll move on to a week sort of themed one.
Mm-hmm.
Can you name three consecutive days without using the words Wednesday, Friday, or Sunday? Can you name three consecutive days without using the words Wednesday, Friday, or Sunday?
What if it's in... There's just silence in here. What if it's in a different language?
No. Doesn't apply. Okay.
I don't know another language well enough anymore to remember that. Was it Wednesday, Friday and Sunday? But they're all the middle days.
Exactly. So can you name three consecutive days?
Think outside the box. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Oh, no, shut up.
All right, do we have time for one more?
One more, quickly, one more.
All right, how many cats can you put in an empty box?
Oh, my God. These are hard. You could have given me a really easy one. How many cats can you put inside an empty box?
Now, I'll give you a hint. Yeah, it doesn't matter about the size of the box.
You can put in as many cats as you want in the empty box. It's empty.
One. After that, the box isn't empty anymore.
I hate you. All right. No. We're going to a song now.
That's good. That's a good one.
So that was how many? Was that five riddles?
I think it was five.
And I got none of them right.
You got none of them. You got to improve.
But how do you improve on doing riddles? Just
hope that I come up with riddles? An easy one. Yes. Look them up.
Look them up and get the answer before look you tell
up.
Me them?
Yes. Or else I'll make up one. Like, what did Pat do? Pat made one up. Do we want to say his one?
No, I think don't think we should.
Don't think we should?
I don't
okay.
think we should. All
right, we won't say Pat's
we'll
one.
We'll save your ears. It was clever, though, but it was very clever. Ears. It probably wasn't that appropriate for this time of breakfast radio. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Georgina, Jesse, and Ben this morning. Jesse's off sick today. So it's just Georgina and Ben. Say good morning to everyone, Ben.
Good morning. It's 2 weeks in
a row.
You're
a bit out of breath there, Ben. Why?
Perfect timing, 2 weeks in a row. I'll leave that to your imagination. But anyway, we've got my sports quiz.
We've got your sports quiz coming up.
I've done running. What else do we have this hour?
We've got a few things coming up this hour. We're going to be talking about donuts, about something I'm sure you know about, but I'm going to make sure the listeners know about it. We've got a little bit about gender reveals a bit later on in the show. And at 8:30, we've got an interview with singer-songwriter Rachel Leocar. She was on The Voice in Season 1 back in 2012. But we're going to be chatting to her a bit later on about her music, her latest single, Stone, and the stuff she's got coming up soon.
All right. You know what time it's for?
I don't know. What is the time?
Me sports quiz. All right. So we'll kick things off with AFL. And this isn't directly related to the sport itself. It's related to the fans.
Okay.
It's related to the fans of two particular clubs, yes. I'm allowed to say that. Anyway, which two AFL clubs have in the last week broken membership records?
I have no idea.
Oh, I thought you were going to get one at least.
I don't know.
Because one happened yesterday.
I'm going to have to guess. Are they...
They're in Victoria. They're two big Victorian clubs. Those are the hints.
But there's a lot of quite big Victorian clubs. All right, I'm going to say one, Collingwood.
No.
Oh.
I'll narrow it down to four teams for you.
Yep, okay.
I've got to think of these four teams very carefully. Okay, Carlton, Richmond, Hawthorne, and Geelong.
Richmond.
Yep. Second one.
Oh. Carlton, Richmond, Hawthorne,
Geelong. So for those that know Richmond, they broke the 100,000 membership barrier yesterday. They are currently sitting on 100,063 members.
That's a lot.
The first AFL club in history to do so, to break 100,000.
So it was Carlton, Richmond, Hawthorne and Geelong. And I said Richmond.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Hawthorne.
Good job. Hawthorn is the other one. It's their 12th consecutive year of record-breaking membership numbers. They broke in 80,000. I don't have the exact number on me right now, but they do have in excess of 80,000 members. So good job.
Do you think that's just non-AFL fans becoming AFL fans, or people swapping clubs, or is it just babies being born?
I wouldn't know. I think it's just, particularly in Richmond, I think it's just bandwagoners jumping on. And Hawthorn, they've been, 12 consecutive years breaking membership. That's incredible.
Massive.
So, not sure. I think it's just new fans just jumping on at the right time. All right, now this one's going to be difficult for you, but you can have a guess of a number. How many Australians currently have contracts in the NBA?
It's not many, is it? Or is it a lot?
I'll give you... I don't want to narrow it down yet. I just want to hear... I can go higher, lower for two of them. So give me two guesses and I'll say higher or lower.
Can I say four?
Higher.
And then I'm going to say 15?
Lower. So you're giving yourself a nice range there.
Very... All right.
I was scared you were going to say the number. I'll be like, damn, so yes, you're right.
Four was the lowest, 15 was the highest. I'm going to say 9.
You're so close. Oh, was it 10. Eight? Oh, it's 10.
I was convinced it was 8. And
there's Patty Mills, San Antonio Spurs, Thon Maker and Matthew Dellavedova both at the Milwaukee Bucks. And there's Ben Simmons and Jota Bolden at the Philadelphia 76ers. Aaron Baines, he's with the Celtics. Ryan Brokoff, he's just signed a contract with the Mavs. And then we've got Joe Ingles and Dante Exum with the Utah Jazz. And Mangok Mathiang, who's with Charlotte. So there's a lot.
Okay.
All right. Who's the current world number one in both the men's and females tennis rankings?
Oh, and I'm a big fan of tennis, so I don't know it.
Oh, no. You can have a guess, though. Surely.
At the moment, I'm pretty sure Novak's not number one.
No, even though he won Wimbledon.
He won Wimbledon, but he's not number one. And I don't know if it's Federer or Nadal. But I know it's one of those two.
Andy Murray's dropped out
because he hasn't been playing recently. He's injured.
I think he's ranked 800 now or something.
That's so sad for him because at one point, see, I'm half Scottish, so I'm a big believer in Andy Murray.
Yeah.
And he was doing...
the way you say it.
He was doing well at one point, but he was only number one for a little while. I'm going to guess for the men's, excuse me, I'm trying to think of like who went furthest in Wimbledon, but that's probably not help.
I see the logic there, but it's not. This person was number one before Wimbledon.
I'm gonna say Nadal. No. I'm gonna say Federer as the men's, and for the women, I really don't know. It's not Serena Williams.
Nah.
She's dropped down after having a baby. And it's not Maria Sharapova. She's long kind of out after she had time off. The women's names, they get me, and because they don't stay for very long.
I'll give you three. Okay. Simona Halep,
yep.
Sloane Stephens, Caroline Wozniacki.
The first one.
Damn
Halep.
Yes, Halep's right? Number one. Who'd you say for men's?
Federer.
Nah, it's Nadal.
Oh,
Nadal's number one
Federer.
At the moment.
Well, Federer's getting old now, but is he number two?
He's number two, yes.
He's doing well. Good
he's,
on him.
His longevity is incredible. All right, we'll switch sports to soccer.
Okay.
Which club did Cristiano Ronaldo recently sign for?
Juventus.
Good job. You should get that. All right,
I know that finally.
I'm going to make one up on the fly. Who was the last team to get the three-peat before Hawthorn did in the AFL? So Hawthorn, of course, got the three-peat 2013, 14, 15. Who got it before them? Which team?
Collingwood.
I've deliberately flipped over Mabini for a hint.
Oh, I don't know what team that is.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's a disgrace.
Should there be more? Is there a name on it? I don't know much about AFL.
What's that?
Uncover that finger of yours over there.
No, but what animal
it's
is that?
It's a lion.
Yeah, and therefore, which state do the lions come from?
Not,
oh,
not
no,
this
Georgina.
State. Not this state.
Good job. It used to be this state. They used to be called Fitzroy. It's Brisbane.
Oh, yes,
the Brisbane
Lions. Did they?
What years?
Years,
though? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Oh, damn. 2001, 2002, 2003. So I was too early to fully indulge it.
Well, Collingwood, did they do 2 years?
Collingwood lost to Brisbane 2 years in a row, 2002, 2003.
God, Collingwood.
So that's probably where you got it from.
1996.
1996 was North Melbourne.
What?
I love this. You can just ask me.
Oh, 1996 was the year I was born. Okay.
So you should go for North... Do you go for Collingwood?
I don't really go for anywhere.
You don't... All right, well...
My boyfriend
Brisbane.
Goes for Gold Coast. I don't
why
know
does
why.
He go for Gold Coast?
Well, the rest of his family goes for Collingwood.
Do you know who they beat on the weekend?
Yeah, I don't know who, but he was very happy.
Oh, if you had known, I would have given you the win.
I wasn't meant to watch it.
I would have given you the win for the quiz.
I don't know, but it was a good win, apparently.
Oh,
he was very
it was.
Happy.
It was the upset like, it was the greatest upset in maybe a decade.
They're quite low on the ladder.
Oh, they're 17th at the moment.
I don't know why he goes for them. His dad's family go for Collingwood and his dad. His mum goes for Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs because we live in the West.
Yeah.
And he just decided a few years ago, I'm going to jump off and I'm just going to go for the Gold Coast.
Well, if you are a Gold Coast fan or a GWS fan, let us know on our socials. Let us know and give us your reasoning why you have jumped on these expansion teams. We want to know. We want to know who
Look
you
us
are.
Up, Get Serial. Give us a like. Give us a bit of a comment. Get Serial on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And good on you for supporting whatever team you go for. And if they're at the top of the ladder or the bottom of the ladder, just keep supporting them. And keep rooting for them. That's all you can do at this stage, I think. I've got some news to tell you about next Wednesday.
Just quickly.
Yeah.
25th of July.
Yeah.
How quick has the year gone by?
So quickly.
25th of July, we're already in. I mean, it was only a moment ago we were in June, and now all of a sudden July is almost done. August is upon us. I am just shocked at how quick this year has gone by. I mean, I've achieved... I don't know what I've achieved.
Much?
I've achieved... I don't know. I don't want to go into details whether or not I've achieved what I've wanted to, but we don't know. We don't know. But yeah, 25th of July.
I feel like I haven't really achieved much.
Just let that sink in. The year is, we're over halfway through the year. But anyway.
We are.
We've got some donuts to talk about.
Next Wednesday, the 1st of August. So
August.
7 days.
See? We're in August.
Away from now, we're going to be in August. It's going to be the 1st of the month.
What a segue.
Donut Time is relaunching.
That's great.
So, I'm not sure if you're a big fan of Donuts, Donut Time, anything like that, but they went into liquidation in March of this year. They shut down. They are reopening. They have leases for the new stores in the Myer Centre at South Bank, Brisbane, Burleigh Heads on the Gold Coast, and here in Melbourne at De Grave Street and in Fitzroy. So, we've got two locations out of the four. We have half of the locations. Now, they're set to be... setting up a few more locations, but they haven't at the moment. So we'll see how that goes. They've been resurrected by independent owner Pete Andros. We're talking about my pronunciation in the breaks, and
we can do a whole segment on that.
We can do a whole thing.
We can do
on
a
me.
Whole segment on that. Last, past. What was the one you said? Ask.
I'm English. Forgive me.
English.
But the Facebook post, the Facebook website of Donut Time has commented that they believe many Australians miss Donut Time. And when we saw it was for sale, this is the people on the post, we jumped at the opportunity to bring it back. They have encouraged past employees to reclaim unpaid wages after it came out earlier in the year that they weren't being paid correctly and all that debacle happened within their liquidation of pay, money, employees, all that sort of stuff. But... it's coming back. So for everyone out there who's a massive fan of calorie-filled donuts, I mean, the donuts are massive.
Well, you can get vegan, gluten-free, high-protein, and low-sugar options as well.
My
so
goodness.
you don't have to get you know, your full
your
fat
6,000 calories,
yeah, whatever it is
per donut, which donut. Is not accurate. That's just me exaggerating there. I don't know how many calories are in those donuts. I'm assuming a lot, but they taste good.
Yeah,
is that all that matters?
That is all that matters.
That's all that matters when you're eating it.
Yeah.
What's your favourite type of donut, Ben?
I'm not sure. Well, I'm a bit of a Krispy Kreme fan myself.
Me too.
You know, the funny thing was, though, when I started looking at Donut Time, like, I remember buying some donuts in the city when I was going to work, and this was, like, late last year, and all of a sudden it goes into liquidation. I'm like, you're kidding. How's my luck?
Yeah. But, anyway. Only just started.
Yeah.
Now you can continue. You can try
out
every
single
donut at Donut Time.
I've probably got to go with... oh. It's hard. There's a cookies and cream one, which I really love from Krispy Kreme.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if there's any one that it's I have to go one. With, it's just a regular chocolate with sprinkles.
Yeah.
I would go with that any day.
You see, I love jam donuts, but...
oh, hot jam donuts.
Hot jam donuts.
Oh, I remember
good.
That. I used to live in Preston, and the Preston Market, they had a hot jam little caravan, whatever you want to call it, and we always used to get them.
Yummy.
If you're ever near Preston, I highly recommend going down to the Preston Market and go get your hot jam donuts. They are fantastic. They're the best I've ever had,
by
far.
What do you think about, instead of jam, it being custard?
Oh, hot custard? Hot custard or cold? It has to be cold, wouldn't it?
Cold, yeah. They're pretty good. It's something different, but it's got a very, to me, personally, I feel like it's got a very nice taste to it. It's different, but it's nice.
I've had custard.
You need to go try one.
I do. But I don't know. To me, Hot Jam Donuts just signifies childhood. I've always had them. Like, they're the best. Like, if you... Hot Jam Donut. I'm sorry.
Hot Jam Donut?
Actually, that is my favourite donut now. Oh. Screw all that. That's my favourite hot donut.
Yeah, okay.
What other hot donuts are there that we know of?
I don't... We'll find that. Other than, we'll like, churros? But they're... That's Spanish donuts.
Yeah, they're Spanish donuts.
Espanol.
Espanolo.
Donuts.
They're good. Churros are good as well.
They are good, but they're different because they
Hot Jam Donuts are fantastic.
They are.
Especially from Preston Market. Massive shout out to them. They're so good. I'm sorry. I have to do it. Like,
don't apologise.
I love them.
You're sharing your donut knowledge. Everyone out there today, even though it is Hot Fudge Sunday day today on this fine Wednesday, go and get yourself a Hot Fudge Sunday from whatever retailer, fast food place that you can find.
Fast food.
Oh, fast food. Goodness. Oh. Make your own or go out and get yourself a donut. Make yourself a donut. I don't know how talented you are in the kitchen, but if you are, go ahead and make yourself a donut and wait in anticipation for the reopening, the relaunching of Donut Time here in Melbourne. There's going to be one on De Grave Street, which is where there was one already. There's going to be one in Fitzroy. Next Wednesday, the 1st of August... It's going to be here, so get ready. Camp out.
August.
Maybe don't camp out. It's still a bit cold.
That's a bit far. It's a bit far for donuts.
Just
Is
donuts.
It acceptable
it's,
to stay out for
donuts?
It's still
going to be there the next day.
Yeah. It's not like a...
But go and get yourself
an home. iPhone or something.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
Treat yourself next Wednesday. It's hump day. Treat yourself.
This has been a Get Cereal podcast. Get Cereal, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.